Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Through the Wealth Lens. I'm International Private Wealth Advisor Hannes Grascher, joined by my teammate and fellow advisor Max Grascher of UBS's The New York International Group. We're happy to be coming to you today from UBS studios here in New York City. Today we have another topic that should be of great intrigue to those involved in the world of professional sports and entertainment. Over the last few years, we've had many insightful conversations with NBA moms, including recently at the financial literacy panel we participated in at the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. One issue that has come up repeatedly from the moms is the concern that once a player is drafted, he or she becomes a potential target for a PEP. That's an acronym we use that stands for predators, exploiters, and pretenders, which essentially are bad people who are trying to separate the athletes from their money. In addition, the contracts they sign, whether rookie deals or second and third contracts, are public information that further puts them in the spotlight. In today's world, and especially within the NBA, the contracts are bigger than they've ever been, and they're fully guaranteed. And so then you also add in recent developments in the NIL space. We now see athletes, male and female, as early as high school, with sizable endorsement contracts. And suddenly, these athletes have a target on their back. And if they don't have enough people around them who truly care about their well-being and want to protect their future, serious mistakes can occur that jeopardize their financial future. Now, add another wrinkle to this equation, the potential of significant future earnings resulting from an athlete's personal brand. Many of these athletes can turn their personal brand into a lifelong earning stream if their brand is nurtured and protected. So how do we do that? Today, we're super lucky to have a guest on our show, Paige Zandri, from Artizi Zandri PLLC, one of our favorite family lawyers and an old friend, who is also part of our virtual family office. Welcome, Paige.
Thank you for having me, Hannes and Max. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Paige, to kick things off, most of us have heard about prenuptial agreements that protect an individual's assets in case of divorce. They have been used in many instances when a wealthy family wants to protect the assets the family has accumulated over their lifetimes or generations from a child's spouse in case of divorce. Can you just give us a brief overview?
Absolutely. So, as you stated, prenuptial agreements are typically meant to protect people who are about to get married, and it's a contract between those two individuals that governs their rights and obligations, typically financially, to one another once they get married. And I just want to quickly note that prenuptial agreements, of course, refer to the agreement that gets entered into before a couple gets married. And there's also things such as postnuptial agreements, which are agreements that essentially cover the same elements of a prenuptial agreement. They're entered into after the marriage. And what those agreements cover is essentially how assets get categorized, whether they're going to be kept separate or shared, whether or not the couple will have a responsibility to share their income with one another if, in the event the relationship dissolves, and then, of course, whether or not either of them will continue to have that obligation going forward and how those assets would get divided once we define which ones are shared. So essentially what the agreement would cover is assets, income, how they get divided, and what they don't cover are provisions relating to children, child support, and custody.
Great. Yeah, that's a good overview. So now let's go back to some of the fears the athletes and their moms have that they talked to us about, and how to protect their children's assets from boyfriends or girlfriends when they have moved in together and one party relies financially on the other. What are some of the solutions that out there that could protect these athletes?
So what you're describing is not a couple who intends to get married, right? But who will be cohabitating together and for many reasons may have a relationship that looks a lot like a marriage. They may become dependent on one another financially or in other ways. And so what those people can do instead of getting married, a prenup is not going to help them. More to the point, the laws that govern prenuptial agreements are not going to help them. What you're looking at is a civil contract between two parties that's going to come in the form of a cohabitation agreement. And so you will define similar obligations to one another, and you will essentially guarantee that you're protecting certain assets and certain income, and guaranteeing that in the event that relationship ends, you understand what are going to be the consequences of the ending of that relationship. How do I contain the damage that could occur? And you had mentioned earlier to my reputation. So we're not just talking about tangible assets such as money or houses or cars or jewelry. We're also talking about your reputation going forward. How are you going to prevent the damage from that occurring if the relationship goes south?
And Paige, Hannes had mentioned that the personal brands that can provide a source of income for athletes long after their athletic careers are over can be pretty substantial. Can you talk to us about some of the provisions that should be included in these agreements to protect this revenue stream?
So some of the things that you want to start out thinking are not unlike what you might think would be included in a non-disclosure agreement. So you're talking about terms around confidentiality. You're talking about terms around sharing private details on social media, especially. And then you're talking about what are the consequences in the event those agreements get breached. So should someone break that confidentiality, should someone make a disclosure that was prohibited in their agreement, you can include all of those in a cohabitation agreement. You can also include them in prenups, postnups, and divorce settlement agreements. But all of those things get folded in. And what you really want to do, one of the really important things to think about is that, you haven't married this person, so you have not accumulated assets together under the law. And so when you are thinking about building in financial consequences to deter bad behavior, which is often what we do in these types of agreements, you have to think about whether or not that person has wealth to draw from in the first place, right? So if you are building in financial consequences and there's zero to draw from, how are you going to protect yourself? So we talk about things, and we have to really peel back the layers a little bit to understand what's important to the person on the other side of that transaction. So if that person is making any life sacrifices to support their partner, if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend who's following their professional athlete around the country for games, and while they're doing that, they're not going to school, or they're not pursuing a job of their own, and they're not able to produce their own income, that would be important to know, because then we want to understand, how do we make that person whole for the expectations that were lost in that relationship? And you want to try and come up with a method so that if that person breaks the agreement 5 years into the future, do you have something that you can pull back from them that you built into the agreement going forward? So that's how we think about it.
I think that's really interesting. We've heard some stories of girlfriends who were going to law school and were about to go to law school, and their boyfriend, isn't a professional athlete, and they kind of follow him around the country, yeah. Right? And they end up not going to law school because you can't practice in every state. And so that's a really interesting, yeah, sort of forward-looking thought, and just, how do I then get compensated when I'm supporting you, right? And yes, then, and I'm putting my career sort of on hold.
Yeah, I think, that's why I say you really want to peel back the layers, because you could say in an agreement, okay, well, I bought you all of this jewelry and you can keep the cash that I gave you during the relationship. But then are you really asking that person what's important to them? And are you really then getting to the meat of the issue, so that when it comes time to have to argue about who did what wrong, you can really speak to the values of the person that you're talking to. And that's often what's persuasive in these negotiations.
That's why we have you on. Critical information for our viewers, and especially athletes and those connected to them. Now, in terms of social media and protecting the athlete's brand through those channels, are there any individuals that you usually recommend or refer clients to specifically to handle that?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a suite of sort of a bench, if you will, of professionals to help clients like this. And you're really going to want someone who is experienced in managing social media accounts for these types of higher risk clients, right? And so that's also going to involve a PR component. You're definitely going to want to have someone who's experienced in public relations who's going to be helping you review the content that gets posted, and that's not just the images, but also the captions of the images, and even more importantly, the engagement that happens after something gets posted. Someone posts a comment that you don't like, how do you react to that? We all need help in that regard, and these things become very, very difficult and become slippery slopes that folks get caught up in pretty quickly. So I think it's important to have at least two people involved. You need a social media manager, and you need that PR person at the ready.
Yeah, you don't want that high-profile person, you know, walking around and posting their own social media posts and, you know, engaging in tit-for-tat type of conversation when somebody makes a negative comment that kind of spins out of control. It really is like a brand-building tool, right, and should be viewed as that. It's in terms of like the long-term implications of building an athlete's brand and how that relates to income and earnings and endorsements after their career is over or even during their career. So, well, Paige, thank you for taking the time to join us today and discuss a topic I think we're all very passionate about. We know how valuable an athlete's brand is during and after his or her playing career, and it's always a plus to know there are resources like you who are truly looking out for the good of all parties involved to keep them protected.
For our audience, if you have any questions or would like to get in touch with Paige, she can be reached at 212-547-9830 or via email at paige@artizizandri.com. Hannes and I, of course, can be reached at 212-713-8952 or via our emails, which we'll post below. From our studio in New York, thank you for joining us today for another episode of Through the Wealth Lens. I'm Max Groscher. Have a great day.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.